Golf Smarter number 164 for February 3, 2009.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
Head golf professional Oliver Riding from Tierra del Sol, Aruba.
This is Golf Smarter. Sharing tips and insights from golfers and golf professionals to help lower your score. It's worked for your host, Fred Green.
Welcome and thank you once again for downloading another episode of the Golf Smarter podcast. Stay tuned for the end of today's show because we're going to announce the winner of our second giveaway of the perfect putting machine. Before the end of 2008, my wife and I took a one-week break from our hectic, crazy, wild, nutty, goofball lives and went to the island of Aruba, which is in the southernmost part of the Caribbean, just north of Venezuela. Aruba possesses two golf courses. It's a small island. It's not, I mean, you could see one end to the other when you're standing on the 10th tee up there, but there's two golf courses, one of which has been converted from 9 to 18 holes right in the center of the island, and the one that I played, which is a Robert Trent Jones design. After the round, I sat down with Oliver Riding, head professional and general manager of Tierra del Sol, and we discussed Caribbean golf, how to play on a desert island with lots of wind, ground conditions, wildlife, and a lot more. Those of you who are members of the Golf Smarter Facebook group, and if you're not, why not? You can see a short video that I posted from the course while a billy goat is making noise right behind me. And check out the Golf Smarter blog at golfsmarter.com to see some of the photos that I took from the course as well. Now, the audio on this gets a little weird in and out because of the wind. It kind of knocks the audio out, but you could still hear everything. It just kind of sounds like it's tweaked in the equalization, but that's not it. It's just the winds. They have an occasional impact, but you'll get to hear the whole show. So beware, it's out of my control. Here we go, down to Aruba. Welcome to Golf Smarter Podcast, Oliver.
Yeah, well, it's a pleasure to be on your show.
Well, thank you very much. Now, let's talk about Tierra del Sol. This is there's two golf courses in Aruba, or are the other ones really not a real golf course?
Well, actually, yeah, there's three. There's two nine-hole golf courses of one. One of them is the old Esso Golf Club, which is all kind of sand, and it used to have the oiled sand greens back in the refinery time, and it's something that you still find some people out there. And then there's the other nine-hole golf course, and then Tierra del Sol is the only championship golf course on the island. That's correct.
And this is a Robert Trent Jones design.
Robert Trent Jones Jr.
Yes, Robert Trent Jones Jr. opened January 28, 1995, and I mean, you've played it. I mean, it's a great track, five separate tees on every hole, four are marked, so it really challenges any level of golfer, and you can make it as easy or as hard as you want to make it.
And it's interesting because I notice on the scorecard there's recommendations of which tee boxes you should be playing from, but you know, and I appreciated that because lots of times they'll just tell you what the rating and slope of each tee box is, and people's egos get in the way and they generally play the wrong tee boxes. Do you find that happens a lot as well here?
Yeah, you know, you do tend to get people that try to over-challenge themselves. And what I would say, my theory is if you can break bogey golf at home, you could possibly try going to the blues if you hit it well off the tee. But other than that, I would definitely suggest on the average amateur golfer, play from the white and have fun. Look, why would you go a step back and beat your head against the wall if you can play from the whites and really enjoy the golf course as it's meant to be?
Well, plus, if you're here, you're probably on vacation.
Yeah, so, and after Thanksgiving, you haven't had good weather for a while. So, I mean, for you now, it's Thanksgiving is not long ago. But, you know, a lot of people that come down in our high season, which is middle of December through April, haven't played golf because they're, you know, predominantly from the northeast of the U.S. And they haven't played golf since Thanksgiving. So, you know, the golf course is very fair. It's wide open. What you see is what you get. There's no hidden and funky things on the golf course. So I think it's, for the average golfer, it's a real good test from the whites. And then, you know, for competition golf, we can stretch it all the way back to the golds and can make it hard on anybody.
But from the whites, it's only a 121. It's not. It doesn't seem like it would be that difficult, but you have the winds coming into play, and it really does change the golf course.
Yeah, it does definitely change the golf course, and it's definitely something that a lot of people are not used to, having wind like we have it out here. I mean, I would say it blows a steady 12 to 15 miles an hour almost every day. You've got better days and worse days. But then again, Trent Jones Jr. did a hell of a job designing the golf course in the wind, because the short holes are predominantly into the wind, the longer holes are downwind, and because we have the trade winds here, 99% of the time the wind comes from the northeast. So we know the wind is not going to be changing on us. So it's not like when the wind turns, it's unplayable. No, there's either wind, more wind or less wind, or very seldom no wind, but from the other direction is unheard of.
And the first test that you get on how the wind is on the driving range. I went and hit some balls from the driving range the other day, and you're just smacking straight into the wind with the ocean right in front of you. And it has a huge impact on your not your ego, but your mindset on how you're going to play the golf.
Yeah, definitely. The driving range, I mean, if there's something I would change out here, it would be the driving range. It's something. But, you know, again, going back to it, yes, it's tough and it's into the wind, but it's a resort golf course. It's not a place where people come, you know, and hit balls for hours and hours after each other. It's more of a place to just warm up, get yourself loose, and get yourself ready to go out and enjoy 18 great holes of golf here at Tierra del Sol.
And is that how you would define a resort golf course, is that you're not going to be practicing all week, you're just going to come out, warm up, and go out and play?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, resort golf and, you know, even the locals and the members that we have, it's not something, you know, they'll come out and take a lesson or two, you know, work on their game, but it's not the kind of place that, it's not a practice facility. I mean, I know of several places in the U.S. that a lot of people go to practice and to play the golf course, but this is definitely an amenity to the tourist activities that we have in Aruba, and it's something that adds to everybody's vacation experience in Aruba.
Let's talk about the grounds that this course is on. It seemed, well, first of all, we're on a desert island, and you see that all throughout the golf course. There's cactus everywhere. There's beautiful bird sanctuaries around in the backside. But is it this green all the time, or am I lucky because you've had a lot of rain recently?
No, the golf course is always the same color. I would actually like to say that the golf course does get greener than this, but only the golf course because of all the rain. Having 419 Bermuda grass, the grass is a type of grass that thrives in hard conditions. And when it rains so much, it actually goes dormant. It's like grass going dormant when it gets cold up north. This grass, with too much water, it kind of loses direction and where it wants to go. So the golf course actually gets greener, but the surroundings definitely do dry out and become a little bit more desert style.
And is it almost playing like European golf? Irish, or which I've not done, but Irish golf, but because of the winds, and it's almost link style, that you really have to contend with the winds in a very different way than we generally do in the States.
Yeah, and it's actually funny you brought this up, because about 2 weeks ago we had a member from Living St. Anne's in England here, and I asked him, after two rounds, I asked him how to compare it to links golf, and he actually sent me an email, which I thought was very nice of him, and it does have a lot of it. You know, because the wind is blowing, you try to keep the ball lower in order to avoid the wind, and you've played out here. I mean, there's very few holes where the complete front of the green is protected by bunkers. The windward side of every green has an opening to bounce the ball up. So when Trent Jones Jr. did this design work, I mean, the more I play it, and I've been here for over 5 years, the more there's, every time I'm out there, there's something I see that I hadn't recognized before, and that shows how well a design job he did on this track.
Are you familiar with his other designs?
Yes, I've played several of his designs, and I really like him because, as I already said, you know, what you see is what you get. It's not that rinky-dinky. You know, I think nowadays some golf courses have become too tough to play. You know, it's 230-yard carry over nothing, and, you know, it's just hard. And the average golfer does not carry the ball that far. And you come out here, you know, you choose the right set of tees, and it's very playable.
I've been trying to think about the various holes on this golf course after I finished playing, and what were the more memorable ones. And they, except for number 18, to me, all the par threes were the most memorable.
Yeah, and there's five of them.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, it's not often that, well, on four out of five par fives, you have an ocean view, which is very unique. I mean, out of Tierra del Sol, on 15 of the 18 holes you have an ocean view. So the only part three you don't have an ocean view is on 13, where there's the preserved area with water. So it is, you know, there is water on that hole. And like you said, every part three you hit a different club. And I think that makes it very special. You know, I mean, you've got them uphill, downhill, level, you know, in every direction, downwind, straight into the wind, and crosswind between the five par threes. So, yes, it is a challenge that it adds to it, but I think, you know, I think 14 has to rank up there, the par five around the marshland area. I mean, you know, and once you get to the green and you, it's desert on the right, marshlands on the left, and when you look at the green and look further up, you can see the ocean. I think that's something, you know, to bring those three elements into one view is something pretty spectacular.
Actually, you're right, because I did take some photographs, and we'll post those photographs on our Golf Smarter blog. And number 14 I thought was really interesting with the marshlands on the left and the bird sanctuary. And for me, one of the things that I really enjoy about playing golf is the wildlife that surrounds a course or that interacts with the course. And I found this to be quite unique, from the billy goats on number three out by the lighthouse and lizards everywhere. But there were a couple of holes that the birds distracted me so much that I completely lost my concentration.
Yeah, but it's something that we also think is very important. And the marshlands and the naturally preserved area, we help in keeping it that way. Of course, you know, I mean, pure nature, it's, you know, a certain time of the year, it's going to be wet, so the birds come here, and then when it dries out, they will fly somewhere else to where they know it's wet at that time of the year. But what we actually do is we have an arrangement with the government that we pump water into it to keep it wet as much as possible so that they stay there. And I mean, you know, people that live on island, people that have been to the Caribbean, you know, to go somewhere, like you just said, in a desert-style environment, and there's ducks and all these exotic birds, and late in the afternoon there's rabbits everywhere, then we have the goats on three, the lizards, you know, the small geckos and the iguanas, and then you got the burrowing owls. So it's pretty spectacular that on 18 holes of golf in a desert style environment you actually get to witness all of that.
How does Tierra del Sol compare in design and play with other Caribbean courses?
Well, just recently, actually, we got in Golf Digest places to play, we got rated 4.5 stars. There is one golf course that got 5 stars, and there's 3 others that got 4.5. So, I mean, I would have to say it ranks right up there with anything else in the Caribbean. And I think definitely the views, you know, so many ocean views from so many different angles. I mean, from the 10th tee, you can practically see the whole island, the whole high-rise area, and the beaches and everything. So I think, you know, experience-wise, considering, you know, playability, beauty, views, it must be one of the better ones.
Yeah, and coming from the San Francisco area, the west coast of the United States, it's really far to come to Aruba. I guess that everyone would either go to Mexico or Hawaii, but I have been amazed at how many people that I've met that are here from New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, and Philadelphia. So not necessarily Miami or, you know, some of the southern states, mostly the Northeast are the people that I've been meeting since I've been here. So there is that attraction here. And it seems to be a golf destination for a lot of people as well.
Yeah, we're definitely working hard on making it a golf destination. I mean, in our future plans, we have building another 9 holes. I mean, now we're just started with Anabui, which is a private residence club on property. And together with that, we're going to link it into something, and we're going to try to finish 9 more holes, so which would make us a 27-hole facility. And then, you know, yes, the Northeast is our biggest market. I can definitely see it. It's stretching into the Midwest a little, you know, getting the Detroits and the Chicagos. You're starting to see a lot more from there. We now have charters from Canada, so we are getting a lot more Canadian tourists. And then for people like you out west, I know that now with JetBlue, that actually the red-eye JetBlue from LAX to JFK connects to the early morning JFK Aruba. So, yes, it's a red-eye flight, and it is a long way to come. But considering if you can leave at night, leave your house at night, fly to JFK, and the next day at 2 o'clock local time in the afternoon, you're already in Aruba. I think that, you know, as far as it is, that's as good as it's going to get.
And for Europeans?
Yeah, for Europeans, well, we have the United Kingdom, we have flights, we have the Netherlands, of course, with KLM. We have, I believe now we're up to 11 flights weekly, nonstop, from Amsterdam. And then we just opened up Italy with a weekly charter every Friday year-round, which is specific, you know, it's a charter flight that's sold for just Aruba. And that started a couple of weeks ago, and I have to say it's doing really well.
And that's one of the things that people may not realize as well when we talk about Europe. This is a Dutch country. This island is really predominantly Dutch. So English is spoken by everybody. But there's a lot of influence on this island as well. And you are on the tip of the island, too.
Yes.
But, so when you talk about ocean views, I was a little distracted there, but you get the ocean views. You're on the tip of the island, so everything is an ocean around you. But the Dutch influence here.
The Dutch influence here, yes. I mean, it's Aruba used to be part of the Dutch Antilles. And in 1986, at that time, the Prime Minister of Aruba decided their, I would say it's almost like the Virgin Islands of the U.S. So we're under Dutch law, you know, the Dutch system still supports Aruba with certain things, but it's an independent government that reports directly to Holland instead of being part of the Dutch Caribbean and as a unit reporting to Holland. So they call it status aparte, which is like, you know, we're part of it, but we run our own show under their guidance.
Let's get back to golf for just one second. I thought that number 18 was very interesting as well, because that's the probably the most dramatic elevation change that you have on the golf course.
Yeah, it's, well, number 10 and number 18 are the two with the most elevation change. And yes, 18, I mean, but to finish your round for the experience, I mean, it's a pretty hard tee shot. And then the second shot, it's uphill, downwind. So I would say in that position, you actually hit what you would normally hit, because as much as the wind is going to help it, the uphill is going to hurt it. Right. So you just hit any, I mean, if you hit the yardage that you would normally hit, you should be fine. And then once you get up to the green, I mean, you know, once you put it out and you turn around and you put that flag in and that view, I think it's something that leaves a lasting memory of how spectacular it really is out here.
Yeah, it really is, because when you turn around when you're on 18 and you look back and you see the coastline and you can see the cruise ships coming in and all the hotels, and you really can, it feels like you can see the entire island. You know, it's pretty flat here, so you can see all the way down, and we're only, what, 15 miles from Venezuela. We're very close. We're the southernmost point in the Caribbean of all the islands.
Yeah, we're, I believe it's 13 miles from Venezuela, and I know somebody has swam across, I know they've kayaked across, and just recently a group of people kite surfed across, so it's not that far. I haven't tried swimming it yet, but yeah, it's very close, and we are the southernmost island in the Caribbean, and you know, we're only 12 degrees north of the equator, so you know, the weather's pretty much the same all year round. Sunrise and sunset doesn't vary by more than 40 minutes year round. I mean, now it gets dark relatively early, and that would be, you know, let's say 6:30, 6:35. And in the longest day of the year, it will probably get dark at 7:05 or 7:10 or something like that. So it actually gives you 12 hours or more of daylight every day of the year. And that makes it great as a destination.
So I guess we're here to say that even though some people may not think so, if you're planning a trip to Aruba or you're looking for a Caribbean golf trip, Tierra del Sol in Aruba should be your destination point.
Yeah, I think it's definitely something you should seriously consider. And, you know, the airlift from the middle of the U.S. to the East Coast is very good. And, you know, there's a lot of properties on island that, you know, have a lot to offer in amenities as well. And then outside of that, the golf here is definitely something you should try.
Oliver Riding, head golf professional for Tierra del Sol, thank you so much for sharing this with us and letting us get out today.
Okay, no problem. It's a pleasure being on Golf Smarter, and I hope your show continues to blossom the way it has been.
Can you feel the ocean breezes coming over the palm trees? Oh, it was beautiful. Well, thanks again, Oliver. That was a lot of fun. We want to wish congratulations to Vernon Lott of Jacksonville, Florida. He's the winner of the Perfect Putting Machine. Thanks again to Dean Thompson for providing us with two of these great putter training aids for our listeners. And again, don't forget, you get a free carrying case when you use the checkout code GOLFSMARTER at perfectputtingmachine.com. So if you didn't win, go ahead and order one and get the free gift that goes along with it. Again, congratulations to Vernon Lott of Jacksonville, Florida. We've got no contest, obviously, this week, but we may have one next week. So we're working on it. I promise we're always working on it. So check in again, please. Alan McDonald, a Golf Smarter listener from Aberdeen, Scotland, sent in this week's quote that explains his relationship to the game. He says, "I love golf, but sadly, it's an abusive relationship." February means we're getting closer to golf season for everyone, so stay tuned for more instructions, insights, stories, and advice. And if you have any comments, quotes, suggestions, or questions, I'll answer them. Send me an email by clicking on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.